Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, we are continuing our study on the topic of heaven. I think we're getting close to winding down, but I'm not exactly sure how many more weeks we'll go. I've got several outlines I've worked on. I'm not sure how many I'm going to give, but we've probably got as many as a half a dozen to go here, but it's just been enjoyable. It's been a fun lesson series for me to teach, as well as, I think, for you to learn. Tonight, this is going to be different. I need you to listen to me tonight. I need your mind. I know that's tough on a Wednesday night, especially some of you that stayed up real late. But if you'll listen tonight, I think I can show you something that will help you. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse number 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times them, as was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all things that are in them, I heard saying, Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. Now, tonight we're going to talk about the music of heaven. The music of heaven. I want you to notice, let me start here. I believe, as a matter of fact, I know there will be music in heaven. I'm going to be Baptist for a second here, so hang on. I do know we're not going to have rock music, rap music, hip-hop, country western, or any other vile style of music there. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because most all of that music is about sin or a sinful attitude. Country Western music, 99.9% of it is sinful because of the topics. Getting drunk, cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, lying, gambling, smoking, you name it. It's all about sinful things. We won't be sinning in heaven. Most all of the music today is about a bad attitude. That means we're not going to have to put up with the likes of Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, Willie Nelson, Garth Brooks, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and her vile husband Kanye. Heaven's sounding sweeter already. We're not going to have to put up with that garbage. They're not going to be taking their clothes off, gyrating on a stage with all the wild, nasty stuff of today. That's not heavenly music. By the way, it's not supposed to be music in the church either. Now, something else you may not realize, this is where we're headed tonight. Much of the music that we have here on earth, we won't be needing in heaven. I want you to notice something. God says here in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, I want you to look at it. And they sung a what? New song. Why did they sing a new song? Well, most of the music in, can I have that for a second here? Most of the songs in there aren't going to be needed when we get there because these are about what we need here. We're going to need a new song. A new name written down in glory. When we're there, guess what? After the Lord comes back, this chapter 5, that's after the rapture. Names aren't going to be much written down in glory. We're not going to sing that for eternity. Y'all see what I'm saying? A soul winner for Jesus. If you're in heaven, you can't be a soul winner. There's nobody lost there. Abide with me. Almost persuaded. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a question. We're not going to be singing those songs in heaven. Blessed assurance. Brethren, we have met to worship. Brighten the corner, bringing in the sheaves. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Christ receiveth sinful men. Cleanse me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, thou fount. The Comforter is come. Count your blessings day by day. Do you know that you've been born again? If you're there, you know you've been born again. Face to face. Fall fresh on me. Farther along. The fight is on. That could have been the theme song last night. Fill my cup, Lord. Go tell it on the mountain. No offense. let's see here. God will take care of you. Have thine own way. Have you any room for Jesus? He hideth my soul. He is able to deliver thee. He is coming again. Guess what? He's not coming again. We'll be with him. Amen. Heaven came down. Yeah, that's us. We're going down with him. And glory filled our soul. Amen. Higher ground. Hold the fort. That's fort, not fork. I am resolved. I found the answer. I just keep trusting my Lord. I know I shall see Jesus someday. You say, why? Because we're there looking at him. I know who holds tomorrow. I must tell Jesus. I need thee every hour. I surrender all. I want that mountain. I'd rather have Jesus. I'll meet you in the morning. I'll wish I had given him more. In the garden, is it the crowning day? Is it you're all on the altar? It is well with my soul. Jesus, I come. Jesus is coming again, just as I am, just over in glory land. We'll be there. Kneel at the cross. Lead me to Calvary, leaning on the everlasting arms. I've got another 100 names written down right here, but I'm not going to go through them all. You think about all of the music that we sing here. Yield not to temptation. We're not going to be tempted there. Take time to be holy. Tell mother I'll be there. Can I tell you something? Most of the songs we sing here, we aren't going to be able to sing in heaven because we're not going to need them. So God is going to put a new song in our mouth. We'll need new music. Now, everybody doing okay? All right. As you can see, new songs are going to be needed because the old ones are what we needed here. They're about our sin. They're about our need for God. They're about our need for the Holy Spirit, about hope for heaven. That's all fulfilled. It will all be fulfilled by the time we're there. Now, but he does say that they sang or they sung a new song in heaven. Tonight, I want to show you what I think these new songs are. There's another place we'll turn to in the book of Revelation here. It talks about different types of music. You'll see the word harps. You'll see different things used about musical instruments in heaven. But I think there's four basic themes of our music in heaven. I'm going to keep your finger or something there in Revelation 5, but go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to flip back and forth between these. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse number 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he that hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke arose for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye saints, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And I'm going to stop right there for right now. Keep your finger there. We'll refer back and forth to this. I'm going to put one of my 3x5 cards right there so I can do it quickly. Now, first of all, we're going to sing about our salvation. I want you to notice right there in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1. "After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." That word, Alleluia, it's very similar to the word Hallelujah. And when it's used in Scripture, it is a musical refrain. It's a musical term. This is something that is being sung, not just said. It is a musical term. Now, Revelation chapter 5, back to where we were, verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Now let me ask you a question. Those creatures that are singing that or saying that, are they angels? Can't be. Because the Bible says they were redeemed. Angels haven't been redeemed. Christians have been redeemed. Angels can't get saved. Humans get saved. It says, look at verse number 9 again. "Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." This is in reference to the saints. And it's talking about singing to God about being saved. Did you know people from any language, any nation, any people group in the world can get saved and probably has or will be saved? Through all the millennia of the past and where we are today, there are people that have been saved all over the world. It doesn't matter what continent you're on, Christianity has touched it. Now, it may not be Christian now, but Christianity has been there to all those. We are going to sing about our salvation stories. I kind of think part of heaven is going to be us not only singing about salvation itself, but us giving testimony in song about how we got saved. Notice it talks about, "And thou hast made us unto our God." Talks in verse number 11, talks about how many people. It says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's millions and tens of millions of people. And I think if you do the math right, it's well over a billion people. So it's talking about all these people. Can you imagine a choir of a billion people all singing the same type of song at one time? Whew, that would motivate you. Then you got the angels in heaven. It talks about the angels in heaven then also singing with us at different times. Only God knows how many voices that will be. I don't know if you, if you saw any of the World Series or you see a football game, you'll see a stadium packed with 30, 40, 50,000 people, maybe a college game of 100,000 people, and it can get loud. It can get real loud. That's a drop in the bucket to the singing in heaven. Think of a choir of a billion people singing all at one time. Whew. Can you imagine Brother Stoltz up there leading songs to about a half a billion people? Got his git fiddle and his harmonica up there saying, "Come on, y'all, let's sing." that's what God's talking about here. Now, we're going to sing about salvation. Can I tell you something? We're going to sing because we're going to be glad we're saved. We're going to be glad that we are there forever. We're going to actually see our name in the book of life that was written down by God himself. We're going to see the blood on the mercy seat that Jesus shed for us to remind us of our salvation. You know, one of the dangers of growing up in church, did you ever notice second, third generation Christians are usually blasé about their salvation? They didn't come out of a nasty, dirty, drug-infested life. They grew up in church. Worst thing they did is pulled some girl's hair in the nursery and, you know, swam in the church baptistry when nobody was looking or something. You just, nothing major bad. They weren't drunks and drug addicts and rebellious. They think they don't need to be redeemed from much because they didn't sin much. Can I tell you something? Those of us that grew up in church is just as bad a sinner as any lost person on the streets tonight. Amen. Same sin takes us to hell that takes them to hell. I'm glad I've never gotten over my salvation. I'm glad I've never looked at my life and said, well, I wasn't that bad. Guess what? One sin would have taken me to hell. And I needed salvation as bad as Brother Stoltz with his long hair when he had some, in his rock culture and the drugs and everything else. Hey, I needed it just as bad as he did. He's no more saved than I am. And I thank God for that. Can you imagine looking at the blood of Jesus? If you could go to heaven, go to the mercy seat in the tabernacle in heaven, look at the blood on the mercy seat, and it not make you thankful for your salvation, go maybe next door, open up the book of life, look in the bees, go down to Bush, look at my name sitting right there. That's enough to make me want to come unscrewed. You'll be able to do the same thing for yourself. Now, we're going to be thankful we're not going to hell. We'll be able to appropriately thank Jesus in song there for saving us. I've sat beside many a folk dying. And I'll tell them, do me a favor, when you get to heaven, give Jesus a hug for me. Tell him I love you. Just tell him that for me. I've sent a bunch of hugs and I love yous ahead. A bunch. But then I'm going to be able to look at him. Whew. That's enough to get you excited. We'll get to see how some got saved that we didn't even know. Can you imagine? And listen to this. This is not meant in a arrogant way. I've gotten to see tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people saved. And I mean multiple tens of thousands just under my direct ministry. Not even all of the people saved under the ministry of the churches I've worked in. You add that in there and it's in the hundreds of thousands. Do you know I've got converts who have converts who have converts that I don't know anything about? I was preparing this and I was thinking of a couple. My wife and I led to the Lord in South Carolina. They're now missionaries in Costa Rica. They're having people saved because we won them to Christ. I baptized them both. Only God knows some little Costa Rican little kid, snotty-nosed bus kid's going to come up one day and give his testimony in heaven in song about how this couple won them to Christ in Costa Rica and that my wife and I led them to Christ. And then you got the folks that led us to Christ, and it just keeps on going. Can you imagine how happy heaven's going to get? Amen. We're going to see how that whole tangled thing comes all back together again. And it's going to get exciting. That's going to make you want to shout. Amen? Is anybody out there? Say amen. Amen. All right. Whew. You guys have electionitis. All right. Now, so we're going to sing about our salvation. If you notice, Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9, then you go back to Revelation chapter 19. Both of them talk about salvation. Now, number 2. This one's going to maybe surprise you. But stay in Revelation chapter 19. Second thing that we're going to sing about is we're going to sing about Christ judging and I don't have any better way to say this, the Catholic Church and all her babies. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse number 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. That great whore, or the great harlot in the book of Revelation, is the Catholic Church. She is the mother of harlots. If she's the mother of harlots, who are the harlots? That's the Protestant Reformation. That's the Protestant churches. That's the Methodists and the Episcopals and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and all of her little babies that came out from her. Those are all her little satellite, the Pentecostals, the Church of God, the Church of Christ. All of those are Protestant churches. They came out of the Catholic denomination, broke away in protest to her, but that's why they're all so much like Mama Harlot. That's why they'll all go back to her. Now, hang in there. Your mainline denominationalists and even your non-denominationalists are part of this Protestant movement. We're going to sing about the fact that we either came out of it or weren't involved with it. How many of you got saved out of one of those types of churches? Raise your hand. Okay. Several of you. Thank God I've been in two Catholic churches in my life. One was one of my dad's friends had a kid get christened or whatever they call that when they capsize them. And I was just a little guy, but I remember that. And I stepped into a Catholic church in Mexico one day, to see what it was like. Got in trouble for soul winning inside there. But got kicked out by the priest. They weren't real happy with me. Those are about the only two Catholic churches I've been in. All right? Now, I say that to say this. God judges them because of how many people were sent to hell by their bad doctrine. I want you to notice something, Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse number 3. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. This is my opinion. Okay? It's just my opinion. I believe that smoke is the smoke of hell from all the fire that's burning. And as that smoke rises up to heaven from hell, as we see that smoke, it's to remind us of the people in hell put there by this bad doctrine. And we're going to see that and thank God that we weren't part of that. We came out of that. We never got to be a part of that. We got saved away from that. And we will sing about that. Now, you don't have to agree with me of where the smoke comes from. It just says that that smoke ascends forever and ever. Well, there's only two things that live forever and ever, or two parts of forever and ever, heaven and hell.
Right. Yes, sir.
Got to come from somewhere. And smoke comes from what? Fire. So there's got to be a fire burning somewhere forever and ever. I only know of one fire that burns for eternity. Now, when you see that term, the great whore, you have to understand, the Catholic Church didn't start till about 330 A.D., Constantine started the Catholic Church. Now, I'm going to give you about a 2-minute church history lesson here. All right? Jesus began the church between Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 18. It wasn't started by Peter. It wasn't started by the apostles. It was started by Jesus. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's Matthew chapter 16. By Matthew chapter 18, it's talking about if anybody have a problem in the church. It's already been established. So somewhere between Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, the New Testament church started. Constantine was the leader of the Roman Empire in 330. He had politically all of the known accomplished world, Europe and part of North Africa, part of the Middle East, and all the way over through India. All of that part of the world was under his leadership. He had them politically. He did not have them religiously. There were people in the church that were gaining power, and Constantine was power hungry and wanted more power. So he said, let's have a universal church, a Catholic. The word Catholic means universal. And let's put all the churches under one power, and I'll head the church. That way I'll have them religiously as well as politically, and I'll have all the power in one person. That's why the Vatican is a political entity as well as a religious entity. The Pope is the ruler of a country as well as a religious leader. Vatican City is a government that the Pope oversees.
Yes, sir.
He's recognized as a political leader as well as a religious leader. It goes all the way back to 330 with Constantine. All right? So the music, God says, seeing that smoke from hell will remind us to sing about the fact that, thank God, we're not frying in hell with those folks. That doesn't say it in the Greek there, but that's my version of it. But it's going to remind us that we didn't have to be part of that mess. We didn't believe that mess. Now, that does not mean Catholic people can't go to heaven. They don't go to heaven by listening to Catholic doctrine. They get saved the same way you and I get saved. They may go back to their Catholic church, but if they got saved, they're still saved. Just like if you're Methodist or nothing or Hindu or Buddhist or Hare Krishna. If you get saved, you get saved. And it doesn't matter what church you go to get to heaven. It's not church. It's submitting to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe what that church teaches, though, hey, I've met people who got saved when they were young, got in the wrong church, and got taught bad doctrine. I've been witnessing to them, and they say, you know what? I did that a long time ago. Church I'm in now doesn't teach me that, but I did that. Well, then they were saved. They've been taught bad doctrine since they got saved. But they were saved, all right? I got to hurry because I'm going to try to get you out early, I hope. All right, number three, we're going to praise God with our songs. We're going to praise God with our songs. Look at, since you're in Revelation 19, look at verse number 4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down, worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. I want you to notice it talks about us praising God in our singing, that word alleluia again. Now, I think, personally, we'll use some of the word of God to sing. The Psalms were the Hebrews' songbook. I believe we'll sing some of the Psalms. Maybe not all of them, but we'll sing some of them. I can't prove that, but those are praise type things. I know this. If you look in Revelation chapter 5, again, Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 12, saying, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Sounds a little bit like praise to me, doesn't it? The same type of music used in that new song of Revelation 5, we see here again in Revelation 19, with praise to our God. Can you imagine, let me say it this way, when for about 5.5 years, I was privileged to be an assistant pastor in the world's largest church. That auditorium, you could seat 7,000 people pretty comfortably. You could jam-pack 8,000 people in that room. I've been there during conferences, pastors' conferences. You got full-time Christian servants, pastors and stuff in there. And I mean people jam-packed in there, almost 8,000 people sitting in that room. And the song leader get up and we're singing some of the old hymns. And it would be so loud, it was just... it just give you chill bumps.
I mean, you got the piano playing over here, the organ playing over here, and 8,000 voices in unison singing about It's Still the Blood. Oh, my soul. That place coming unscrewed. I watched a couple Baptist-costal preachers run a lap around the building. I mean, just cutting loose. I mean, loud. I'd stand there on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night in that building jam-packed with God's people and just stand there and soak it in thinking, man, there's not another meeting in the world with this many people singing these songs this way anywhere. It was empowering. If you'd ever been there, you'd know what I mean. It was amazing. Can you imagine hundreds of thousands and millions and probably hundreds of millions or billions of people singing songs all at one time? The praises of God. praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Can you imagine a billion people singing that? 300 million people in America. That's three times the population of the entire United States put in one place, packing the pew, singing a hymn to God. That would be fun. That would be fun to listen to. We're going to see people and rejoice and praise God. Some of you ladies have lost babies.
Guess what? One day you're going to meet up with them. You're going to want to praise God for that. My son and daughter-in-law, they lost a baby. We lost our first grandchild. Never saw him, but someday we will.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. Don't you think... I'm going to slap my son upside the head? No, I mean, when I see that grandkid that we've never seen before, well, that'll be exciting.
Amen.
That's going to be fun.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? That's going to make you want to praise God. You're going to see people that you haven't seen. You're going to get to see people and be reunited with them. Good night. My grandfather's been in heaven for 36 years. I'm going to look forward to seeing Grandpa. My other set of grandparents have been in heaven for, 15 and 16 years. Coming up on 16 and 17 years. And I understand that. I've preached their funerals. My wife's grandfather, he died 27 years ago at the end of this month. One of her other grandfathers died right after we got engaged. I never got to meet him. We're going to look forward, and when we get up there, have you ever seen somebody you haven't seen in a long time? I've seen preachers every once in a while. I'll see a preacher I haven't seen him in a long time. I saw Brother Arcola at the funeral last Friday. Walked up, and he grabbed my hand. I said, "Praise God, Brother Kevin. How you doing, man?" Hugged him. That's what heaven's going to be like. That reacquainting time of friends and family. I'm going to get to see Brother Hiles again.
Amen.
I'll get to see Brother Roloff again. Amen. I'll get to see my cousin Cheryl, who was killed with Brother Roloff in that airplane 34 years ago. We'll enjoy it. Then I got to hurry here. Number four, and I'll be done. We're going to worship God with our music in heaven. Listen to this statement. There are no public worship services ever found in the Bible.
Right.
Challenge you. Look through it. Worship is thanking God for what he is. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all love. His justice. His mercy. By the way, some of the songs are worshipful in the book of Psalms. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His grace is sufficient. Those are things that he is. The love of God is a worship song. It's about what God's love is and that he is love. I want you to notice something. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse number 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." That word omnipotent is an interesting word. It means all powerful. Omni, or omni, which means all, potent, meaning power, means all powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at one time. This is a worship term here. Turn back to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse number 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and as such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Boy, that's worship. Where our music should worship God. Now, be careful. I'm for music. I like music. I probably understand music better than most. I read both clefs. I have had college music theory. I've had three different music classes in college. I played trumpet for 20-some years. I can play baritone. I can play a little bit of French horn. I can play just about any brass instrument. I would love to sit down, take lessons, and learn how to play the piano because I read it. I understand the cadences. I know the circle of fifths. I can transpose. A trumpet is in B flat. Piano's in C. I know how. That means this. You have to have special music printed for the trumpet part to match the hymnal. Unless you know how to transpose. Let me see your songbook for a second here, Brother Stoltz. What song did we sing tonight? Let me pull one of your paper clips there. Did we do I Am Resolved?
Yes.
Okay, I Am Resolved is in the key of B flat, which is two flats. And the first, the soprano line starts with an F. If I were to play that in trumpet, I would put it in the key of C instead of the key of B flat. And every note, you play one note higher. So instead of playing an F, I'd play a G. And you read the music along that way, and you play one note higher and change the key signature. I can do it on the fly. I played in church for I don't know how many years. And I played right out of the hymn as a high school student transposing music on the fly. I know a little bit about music. Now, I'm not the world's greatest singer. No comments. All right? I do know that. I am not a lead singer. I sang bass in choir. I sang bass in a traveling ensemble. I can sing bass, but you don't lead singing bass. I know all of the 1, 2, 3, 3, 4. You can lose it for 6, 8. I know how to do 4-4 timing. I know how to do 2-4 timing. I know how to do all of that. Okay, I can do it, and I understand it. But can I tell you something? Music itself can be worship, but it's not public worship. Just because we'll sing a song about God doesn't mean you worship God. It's an attitude, you by yourself. When I was coming to church this morning early, I got to bed after 1 o'clock watching the stupid returns on the election last night. Got up, got to work early this morning. As I came to work, I wasn't just thanking God for different things that happened through the election. I was praising God for it. But I took time, first of all, this morning, and I said, "God, no matter what happened, you're still God. God, thank you for being in charge of all of that. Lord, thank you for being all-powerful." I began to talk about how great God was and how puny and how unimportant we humans are. God and I had a good time this morning. I wanted God to get more worship than Donald Trump. I wanted God to get more worship, definitely, than Hillary Clinton. Some of our politicians have thought they were all-powerful. Can I tell you why everybody's so shocked on the liberal side? Because they thought they had all power. Guess what? God's all-powerful. Man. Not man. The preacher's not all-powerful. God is.
Yes,
we're going to sing about how great God really, really, really is.
And they sung a new song. Say, why? Well, probably because most of the songs we sing about now are all going to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Well, it doesn't mean we won't sing some of them, but most of the Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000... Okay, wait a minute. We're already there. I don't know if God's going to make new verses. I have no idea. I just know this. It says, and they sung a new song. And the word alleluia is a musical word. It's a musical term. And it talks about those different themes. Are those the only themes? I'm sure it's not. Those are the ones we talked about tonight. I'm sure there'll be others. But you're not going to... we're not going to have the worldly music up there.
Amen.
We're not going to have the entertaining music up there. The music is for God. It's for praise. It's for worship. It's for thanking God for our salvation. And it's for praise to God. That's what it's for. By the way, we can have heaven on earth with our music. We have churches that have hell on earth with their music. You get the rock bands in there and the drums and all the other... and I'm not against orchestration, but sometimes we put so much into orchestration and so much into music. And I'm not afraid to say this. I'm not a classical music person. I know enough about most classical music that if you knew who wrote that music, you wouldn't want to be influenced by them. Beethoven died of a sexually transmitted disease. I go on and on. Well, I know a pianist that's classically trained. I know some Christian singers who were operatically trained. I also have watched virtually every one of them change their doctrine and go back into what they came out of.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Every one of them. So maybe it's not the worldly training that's important. It's who we sing to that's important.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. That's why I love watching Kirsten play. Watching Julianne play her guitar, learn how to play her guitar. You know, our young people using their talents for God musically. Mrs. Barnes with her stretched out clarinet there, her bass clarinet. Brother Stoltz with the 14 different things he plays at the same time. Say, I believe in using your talent for the Lord. It's for God. Let's do that. All right, that's the music of heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed.